Right. So before I get started, I just want to say a little quick prayer here. Lord God, we come before you, Lord, this night, and just give you thanks, Lord, for the precious words in this book. We thank you, Lord, for the way of eternal life which you've shown to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, it's my prayer that you would open the eyes of our spiritual understanding to really grasp what your will is for us in Jesus Christ. Lord, he's so everything that we were made to be, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that you would put Jesus Christ in our hearts so that we can please you the way that your Son, Jesus Christ, does. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so what am I talking about tonight? What I want to talk about is, what does it mean to be a Christian? Because there are millions of people, maybe there's even billions of people in this world, and you'll ask them, are you a Christian? And they'll say, oh yeah, but what does it mean to them? You know, for a lot of people, being a Christian just means that you think Jesus Christ was a cool guy. For a lot of people, being a Christian means that they said a prayer once in Sunday school. That's not what being a Christian is. So what we're going to do is we're going to look in the Scriptures and see what the Bible calls the Scriptures of Truth has to say about what being a Christian really is. Once Paul was preaching to a man named King Agrippa, and he's talking about who Jesus Christ is, and he's talking about what Jesus Christ did, and because of that, what this man ought to do. And at the end of Paul's preaching, you know what this man said? You almost persuaded me to be a Christian. What does that mean? You almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Does that mean that Paul was a lousy preacher? That he got so close and he just couldn't convince this guy? No, it's because it was a decision that that king had to make in his own heart when he realized through the truth of the gospel who Jesus Christ is and what he was supposed to do about it. He had a choice to make. And he almost made the right choice, but he didn't. And I just want to say, we all have that choice to make when we understand who Jesus Christ is and what he requires of us. We have a choice to make. So let's open in the Bible to the book of Acts. And let's see. I want you to open up to the book of Acts, chapter 11. If you got a Bible with you, and if you don't, it's okay. I'm going to read it out loud. In the book of Acts, chapter 11, in verse 26, it says this. It's talking about Barnabas. I'll start at verse 25. It says, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Saul is the man that would become Paul, or would be called Paul later on. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So this is the first time the word Christian appears in the Bible. And what does it say that a Christian is? It says the disciples were called Christians. The disciples of who? Or the disciples of what? Well, it's right in the word, Christians. A Christian is someone who is a disciple of Jesus Christ. Okay, what does it mean to be a disciple? Well, let's go to the Gospel of John. And chapter 8. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. And Jesus is going to explain what it means to truly be his disciple. So we're in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. and verse 30. And Jesus is talking to the people there and talking about himself and talking about how the Father sent him, and he always does the things that please his Father. Amen? And verse 30, it says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. And that's a good thing to do, to believe on Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen? Verse 31, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. It says the Jews because at this point Jesus is only preaching to Jews because he's in the land of Israel. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ah. So, a couple things here. First of all, Jesus said, the way to be my disciple indeed, you have to continue in my word. He doesn't say you have to pray a prayer once and then just go about your regularly scheduled program. He says you continue in my word. That's what it means to be a disciple of a master. Jesus said his disciples, his followers, they called him Lord and Master. A Lord is someone that you serve. The relationship is that he's the Lord and we are the servants. Amen? The relationship is that he is the master and we are his disciples if we continue in his word. Amen. And verse 32, he says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. That, what does that word indeed mean? It means in truth. That's the way that we use it today. That's the way, like, if I say I'm a Christian indeed, that means like I'm truly a Christian.
Forever.
Amen. But you look at the word, what it actually says, it says in deed. Ah. That means in action or in practice. And folks, if you're not in action and in practice, are you really a Christian in truth? Amen? And this is what he's getting at here. Verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Make you free. Free from what? Free from slavery, free from bondage, free from taxes, free from what? Well, here it is. The Jews that were listening, they didn't really get what he's talking about, so they said, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Ah, these guys need a history lesson. Because Abraham's seed were in bondage in Egypt for a long time, for 400 years. Let's not forget that it was the Lord who brought them out of that bondage. And it's the same way with Jesus Christ. He is the Lord, and he's the only one who can deliver us from this bondage that he's about to talk about. What bondage is that? Verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Amen. Do you see what he's saying here? Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. But Jesus Christ said, if you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed, and the truth will make you free. Free from what? Free from sin. That is what Jesus Christ came into this world for, to save sinners, as it says in the book of Matthew chapter 1, to save his people from their sins. I want you to make no mistake about it. Jesus Christ didn't come just to save you from the penalty of your sins. Because the penalty of our sins, folks, is God's just wrath against sin. We deserve that. God didn't just come to save us from what we deserve. You see, his wrath comes on the disobedient. That's who we are on the inside. And the salvation of Jesus Christ is not just about forgiving your sins, but making you into a new creature that would be like Jesus Christ, that would always do those things which please our Father. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But it says his only begotten Son. But you know what? The Bible also says that Jesus Christ came to bring many sons to glory, that whosoever believeth in him, on his name, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And that's the power that we have believing in Jesus Christ. You see, the life that Jesus Christ lived, it was a life of principle. It was a life that walked after the Spirit of God. And that faith that he had told him to deny himself, to deny his body. Jesus didn't walk around fornicating or committing adultery or stealing whatever his eyes lusted after. That's not what Jesus Christ did. Being obedient to God, walking by faith, walking according to the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ said, you know what? There's something more important than what I want and what my eyes see that I want. There were things that the flesh of Jesus Christ wanted because he was a man like we are. But the Bible says that he was justified in the Spirit. He didn't walk after his flesh. He walked after what God wanted. As he said right in this very chapter here, verse 29, I do always those things that please him. Okay, why do I mention all this stuff, folks? A lot of what you'll hear, there's a lot of people that say this, that Jesus Christ is a great sacrifice for sins, and amen, he sure is. He is God's one sacrifice, perfect sacrifice. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the whole world. Amen? John says in 1 John that he is the propitiation for our sins. And not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. He's a great sacrifice. But folks, I don't want you to think of Jesus Christ as only being a sacrifice. Someone who died so that you can go off scot-free and get a free gift. That's not the whole gospel. That's part of it. Praise God that Jesus Christ did come in the flesh to die for our sins so that we could be reconciled to God and forgiven. But let's not think he's just a sacrifice. I want you to know he is the Lord and Master. And what it means to be a Christian is to be his disciple indeed, to continue in his word. The word which he spake is a master to his followers. He said, believe in me. It's not just his death, burial, and resurrection. It's believe in everything that he said. Continue in his word. As I said, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, right? Look at Matthew chapter 5. By the way, being a Christian indeed, a disciple of Jesus Christ indeed, that's what Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are all about. Jesus is looking at the Old Testament law of Moses, and he's saying, it was written back then on tables of stone, it was written in a roll of a book, but he said, my New Testament, my New Covenant, is to write that law in your heart. So that you don't need to read a law to tell you what to do. Because I'm going to put righteousness in your heart and I'm going to make you a new person. And that's what this New Testament is all about. That's what Christianity is all about. not just to be a bunch of religious people following a set of rules, but to be as Jesus Christ with him on the inside, on the heart, so that we would say, as he did, "Lo, I come." In the volume of the book, it is written of me, "I come to do thy will, O God. I love you so much because you're righteous and you're holy and you're merciful and you're true." And that should be our attitude, especially when we see that sacrifice that God paid for us, that he shed his own blood for us. If we truly believe that, it ought to make a change in here. It ought to change the way that we live our lives. It ought to change your mind. It ought to change our heart. It ought to change our whole thinking. Anyway, where I was going, Matthew chapter 5. Jesus talked all the time about himself as being the Son of God. But this is what he says at the end of Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." You know why? Because he's teaching you how to be like him. Verse 45, "that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven." Folks, that is something amazing that humanity never had until Jesus Christ came. But seeing what God did for us, if we put our faith in that and say, "Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord," that means he has the right to give the orders. He's got the right to tell us what to do and to give us commandments for his glory, for our own good. And if we confess him as Lord and believe that God really did raise him up from the dead, and that by his faith he'll raise up us from the dead also, then we'll be like him. He will actually make that transformation in you. You say, "I'm not a good person." He'll make you a good person. That's his promise, because Jesus Christ is a good person. Verse 45, "that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." You say, "Well, that's a pretty tall order. I can't do that. I can't be perfect like God is perfect." That's why God, sending his own Son, so that we, being in Christ, could be made the righteousness of God in him. That is an amazing gospel. I know we're kind of running out of time, don't have a lot of time to talk here. Folks, I'm open if you want to talk, if you want to ask questions before you go down to eat or when we go down to eat. Folks, this gospel is something amazing. And I understood it on a certain level for years and years. But I'll tell you, it's deeper than you could possibly imagine, and it's the most wonderful news that it's better than anything you'll hear on Fox News or CNN. This is the gospel from God, who wants to make us his children so that we can live blameless before him in love. And that's something wonderful, folks.
I just would like to share my testimony with the guy who is waiting for a kidney. I've been on dialysis. I was born with polycystic kidney disease when I was 6.5 months old. This is what gave me my faith in Jesus when I was 19. I lost
Amen.
3 days a week, 5 hour treatments. And I'm thankful for God. I understand His word.
Amen.
Every day, every night, you know, rain, sun. And I just want to give the guy who is waiting for a kidney also hope.
Amen. Yeah, that's a great testimony. And Jesus talked, you know, in His ministry, Jesus went about doing miracles to show His power that He really was the Messiah that God said was coming. And He gave those signs and He gave those miracles to show His power, to show His glory, to prove that He was who He said He was. But He said, some people get these miracles. Some people don't. But here's the thing. What will you do with His word? Okay? I've had miracles in my life. I should have been dead when I was 4 years old. I was choking. I was ready to die. My mouth was completely closed. My parents panicked. They didn't know what to do. My dad was an EMT. He didn't know what to do. I wasn't breathing. I was on the verge of death. And you know what my parents did? They turned to the Lord and they prayed and my mouth was opened.
Yes.
And that's why I'm here today.
Yes.
What God wants you to do, sometimes He'll give you a miracle and sometimes He won't. But you know what? Leave that up to Him. Take His word and see, look at Jesus Christ, examine Him and see, is He the Lord? Is He worth following? Is the testimony that God gave of His Son, is it true? If you look into it and you say, God, I want to know, is this the truth? He will show you. And that's a miracle in itself. Amen? So folks, I don't want to keep you too long, so we're going to pray here. And again, if anybody wants to talk to me, I'm definitely open to do that.
But
you going to pray for her?
Yes, her name was Ariana Craig.
Lord God, I just come before You, Lord. And Lord, I'm so glad for every one of these people that's here right now, Lord God. All these precious souls. And I just pray, Lord, that You would, Lord, do what I can't do, Lord. I cannot make somebody a Christian. I cannot make somebody a disciple. I cannot convince somebody, Lord God, but I know the Spirit of the Lord can. And I just pray, Lord, that You bring each one of these people, Lord, if they're willing, bring them the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Teach them, Lord. Make them into new creatures, Lord God. I'm willing to help out. I'm willing to do my part. And Lord God, I trust in Your mercy, Lord God, regarding those who are in this world, Lord, and those who are not. Just knowing who You are, Lord God, and the love that You have toward us. And I justify You, Lord, in everything that You do. Lord God, we thank You for this time to spend with Your word. And I just want to pray for this meal, that You would bless it to our health, Lord. And again, I just pray that You would open the eyes of our spiritual understanding toward Your will and for us in Christ Jesus. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.